then we can talk afterwards if needs to. Alright, let's have a wee prayer and then we'll begin listening. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day, for life and health and strength. Lord, we're missing on everybody this evening except for Lynn. I pray before your hand upon them, Lord, that you would minister to them as well as us this evening, Father. Do indeed thank you for all your many helps and blessings. Thankful that Lynn got home safely. And Frank and Dr. Shannon to the office, we are. Please bless us in our time in your presence. And Lord, we love you and thank you. Amen. 160 in the big books. We'll not sing as many songs, but we'll sing a few songs. 160, crown him with many crowns.
There's a peace in my heart.
Take your Bibles out if you would and go to Psalm 1. I'm going to read Psalm 1 and 2 by way of our Bible reading this evening. And then we will we'll see if there's any announcements. Psalm 1 and 2, actually, there's about 18 verses just between them. It's not very long. They are very, very good.
A little bit of everything, but excuse me if the guy wasn't rested today.
Alright, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. I shall break them with a rod of iron, I shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much for joining me there. I think we're still on the white prayer list. Anything to add to them? Anything to add to our prayer? We're glad you got home safely.
Yes,
Frank's work. Starting real work, is that it? There we go. Traveling to Morocco was done. You got there eventually and back home. We're glad to hear that. I don't know where everybody else is today. I don't know where Norman is. Charlotte is moving house, so she is moving furniture. Colin, I have no idea. Will, no idea. Stephen, no idea. Pat and Steve would love to be here, but they're just not well enough, so please do pray for them. Unfortunately, at this time of year, people go on holidays and do stuff like that, so there you go. Otherwise, anything else? I think, is it the 28th? Is it the 18th? 5 more days and Will's granny goes in for surgery on her knee, so please pray about that. And please do pray about my side. It's somewhat cleared up. I appreciate your prayers for my health as well. Anything else? Have you got anything else now? Pretty quiet this evening. We're all very quiet this evening. There's just not enough of us to make any noise.
That's what you mean.
Well, I have private prayer requests. Do you have anything? I have two. That's Monica, Mark, and Lynn. And Will and Norman have from previous. I think that's about that. I know there's a lot of stuff still going on in the world with Russia, China, Ukraine, America, Britain. We're looking for a new prime minister. Hopefully, one who knows what he's doing. So please do pray for our countries. folks that you know, people need to be getting to see it. Oh, and we actually, whenever we were out on Monday, we went out for a walk across the Peace Bridge and then to town. We met a young man called Aaron that works in the regatta shop in the Foyle side, who expressed an interest in joining us at some stage for church. So please do pray for Aaron in the regatta shop. I don't know his surname, but seems like a reasonable young fellow. Well, young, he's 24. What age is Frank?
22.
Yep. So please do pray about that. I think that's that, isn't it? Have you anything else? No? Good. Let's pray. Right. Okay, loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this freedom that we have to come before you in prayer. I pray, Lord, please, for us here this evening, not only us, Lord, but those that listen to the sermon, especially for Alan at this time too, Lord, those just over COVID, I pray that you would just help them, Lord. I pray to keep on keeping on. And for Colin, Pat's son, I pray, Father, please, that you would touch him as he strives to recover from COVID as well. Still about, still hurting people, Father. I pray, Lord, that it would give people an opportunity to consider where it is they're going to be spending their time. I thank you, Lord, for bringing Ling and Dr. and Frank back safe and sound from Morocco, even though they had a bit of a shaky start. And I pray, Lord, for Frank this next month or so as he gets into training and starts attending his, well, I would say, proper job, or the job that he's been training for the past few years. And pray, Father, most importantly, for your will to be done. Be with our absent brethren, Lord, wherever they might be. And I pray you too for Stan and Karen and the folks up in Bangor, Lord, for Ed and Joan and the folks up in Temple Patrick. Remember too Johnny Campbell, Lord, and I can't remember the name, the fellow that looks after the Free Church there at Listigelvin. I know, Lord, we're coming up to that time of year whenever the Gay Pride's on, and I pray you please that there would be a wee bit of cooperation and support, Lord, from other churches as we strive to reach out to the lost souls. Bless our time in your presence. I know we're just hitting, we're just about at the minimum, Lord, for wherever it is that you will be there in the midst. But please bless our time together. Please, I pray you too, would you consider our private prayer requests and petitions, Lord, and help us to be your good children. Love you and thank you. Pray all this, Lord, in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. And amen. Amen. We'll sing another song, and then we'll open our Bibles. I'm going to take your black handbook. You'd be able to put it out. Number 18, The Soul Never Dies.
Yes.
Number 18 in the book, The Soul Never Dies.
Oh,
your hymn books away and take your Bibles out and meet me in John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, I want to take a few minutes this evening and just spend those minutes on the subject of the constant God. The constant God, in John chapter 8, beginning at verse 51 and reading through until verse 59, the constant God. Amen. All right. Some of these words are in red, some of these verses are in red, which means these are the quoted words of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and we would do well to pay particular attention to them. So let's read. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast the devil, Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honour myself, my honour is nothing. It is my Father that honoureth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out through the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Amen. Verse number 58 is our text, or at least the verse that sparked the sermon, the message for this evening. Hope it'll be a help to you. And speaking on the subject of the constant God. Let's have a quick prayer. And then we'll continue on. Lord, would you please be with us now as we spend this time around your word? Would you open our understanding of it, or just help us appreciate another dimension of you, Lord? We thank you, Lord, for preserving your word and for giving us inquiring minds. I pray, you, Lord, that you would feed us this evening. Be with, Lord, wherever the full counsel of your word is read, preached, taught, Lord, you know. For the hearers and the speakers of it. We just thank you for loving us and watching over us. We pray all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's an interesting thing. Unless you maybe have a little bit of background in Doctor Who or Star Trek, it can be an interesting exercise getting your head around the fact that God made time. And as far as God is concerned, time was made and exists in a little bubble called our universe, and he exists unchanging outside of that. And every second that passes by, we're going down a one-way street, but God can go both ways and can stop at any time. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, as it says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8. But before we get into looking at the constant God, let's have a quick look at a few of these verses. As we started this bit of God's word, we see the Lord speaking to the Jews, the leaders, the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and things like that. And as ever, it always revolves around who exactly Jesus is. And that's a very important question. Who is Jesus and what have you done with him? They talk about the Lord. They talk about eternal life and just how important his word is. And unfortunately, that is still a problem for a great many people today. Many times people say that they believe in God, But the Bible says the devils also believe and tremble. A lot of people say they believe there was a man called Jesus, but some believe he was a man. The Muslims believe he was a prophet. The Roman Catholics see Jesus as a little child. The Mormons see Jesus as the half-brother of the devil. New Agers see Jesus as some sort of ascended master. And I am sure there are a few other people that see Jesus differently, as a bloke. Maybe he with special powers, who knows. But there's one other that stand apart and is mutually exclusive with all of those, and that is that Jesus Christ is the very Son of God, the second person in the Godhead, the Savior of anybody that will repent of their sins and believe in him, the Creator of all things, and the Judge of all people that will reject him. That's who Jesus is. He wants to save people, but he's not going to force people. Because you know full well that if Jesus forced people to go to heaven, half of them getting there would be complaining that they had no choice in the matter and that they were going to have a sit-in, or they were going to stick themselves to some door or some piece of art somewhere. The next question is about eternal life, and this really seemed to get the Jewish people. They could not comprehend, they didn't even want to bear in their minds that this could be Christ. This could be the man that fulfilled all of the prophecies that were laid down for him, right down to the days in which he was supposed to live. The countdown kicked off in the book of Nehemiah, and here Jesus Christ was doing miracles and preaching these very gracious words to those that needed that touch from heaven, but also very hard words to those that were opposing him. And eternal life is one of those things. And they found it very difficult to think about what the Lord, that this man who was about 30 years old had actually seen Abraham. They couldn't get it through their heads. How could you have seen Abraham? You're not even 50 years old, and Abraham lived nearly over 1,000 years ago. How could you possibly know anything about Abraham or the rest of the prophets? Now, communities were very close-knit back in the day. Everybody knew everybody, and Jesus never sat in a school to learn about the prophets and the books of the Bible and things like that. He was a carpenter's son. And at least one of the scribes and the Pharisees, or one of the doubters, said, "How come this man knoweth letters, never having learned?" Jesus is God. He never had to learn to write. He invented reading and writing and all the languages, and he created all the languages off the cuff whenever everybody in the world at that time, just after the flood, got together to build the Tower of Babel. And people find it difficult to get their heads around the way the Lord and time work together. God controls time. And it's doing exactly what he wants it to do. And a lot of people have a problem with that, because that means that God as well is a big God. He's not just a babe in arms that can be manipulated. He's not a man that was subject to the same sins and problems that we are. He's not the half-brother of the devil, and he's not an ascended master or some one of the prophets who also were men. He's God Almighty. And the thing with God being God Almighty is that, well, you can't really make him do what you want to do. Like so many people would think that if they offer a sacrifice to whatever idol it is that they worship, that they have paid him off and they can go and do what they want. But a great God doesn't work like that. Many, a lot of people have a lot of ideas. And some people think that this eternal life that God offers, they'll get it by doing good deeds. If I am faithful to my spouse, if I honor my mother and father, if I look after my family and raise my children right, if I am diligent and honest at my work and do good deeds for folks and even donate to good causes, like building a church. Remember the centurion that built the church or helped build the synagogue? That I am going to inherit, I will earn eternal life. But the Word of God says the only way to get eternal life is through trusting in God. Before the Lord went to the cross, it was people that trusted in God went to paradise. After the Lord went to the cross, people got to heaven by trusting in Jesus Christ. Because it was his work on the cross that pays for sins. Those other things that we mentioned, they come under the term of natural love and affection. I think that's mentioned in 2 Timothy 3. And it talks a lot in 2 Timothy 3 about a lot of people in the last days not having natural love and affection. You get to heaven by trusting Christ as your Savior. By being saved. We even had a little bit of a discussion about that there. Because that Jesus said, look, if you really were God's children, you'd be worshipping me. You would know exactly where I'm coming from, and you would be saying, you know what? All the things that your word says about you have come true. You're the Messiah. But no, that's hardly ever the way it goes. One of the other things that people have a bit of trouble with is God's Word. A lot of people say it is an ancient text and it bears absolutely no relevance in our lives, just like so many other ancient texts. And that's a valid position to take because you have a free will and you can believe whatever you like. However, the alternative is that it is the Word of God. And whenever you consider that things that were written in the Word of God 1,000 years ago are just coming true today, you have to stop and you have to ask the questions, hold on one second. No other book in the whole history of man has ever been able to do that. This is a special book. It's stood in the face of many detractors and critics. Even religious people that claim to be the children of God, there must be something special about it. So you can take it as the Word of God that will point you in the right direction, that will remind you of all the promises and blessings that God has for his children. And the difficulty in life and hardship and eternal punishment for those that refuse to become God's children. And all these things, as the Lord reasoned with the Jews and the leaders that he was speaking to, as he did that, he used the name that he had used when he spoke to Moses in Exodus. Whenever Moses was talking to God, and God said, Moses, I need for you to go and speak to the children of Israel. And whenever they say to you, well, what's his name? God said unto Moses, tell them, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. He is unchanging, unresting. He is never taken down by a cold or a flu or old age, nothing like that. And the sad thing about it is that all it would have taken on behalf of all of these religious leaders is a little bit of time. But their pride, their laziness, their self-sufficiency kept them from it. And it set them constantly against Christ and persecuted and killed his followers. Now, there's quite a few constants in this life. Two of the ones that people will mention most of the time are death and taxes. Death is a constant and taxes are a constant. But there's a few others. I don't know, does anybody know pie is a constant? And I don't mean apple pie or rhubarb pie. I mean 3.142 pi, that there are 3.142 times the radius in the circumference of a wheel or a circle. That's pi, and that never changes. And another thing that never changes is the speed of light. 3 times 10 to the 8 meters per second in a vacuum, give or take, and we'll not fight over it, but that's an awful lot of meters, like 186,000 miles per second. And people use these things every day, all of these constants. They make them to send, receive phone calls, emails, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, WhatsApp, all of these things. Send rockets to the moon, even to drive down to the shops. And life goes so much better and easier whenever we consider these things. Otherwise, the wheels in your car wouldn't be made properly, and the cogs and things in your engine wouldn't go, and all the other constants that go into building electronics, like the mass of an electron, the mass of a proton, the mass of a neutron, and the charges that they carry. All of these things are facts of life, even when we are not aware of them. There is another constant, one that you can get through life without, but you will not get to eternal life without, and that's Jesus Christ. And he's the God that never changes. We mentioned Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And here's a few things about him that never change. First of them is his love for the lost. He loves lost people, and he wants them all to get saved. The Bible says many times that he's not willing that any should perish. Second Peter chapter 3, I think it is. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Another thing that never changes is man's need for a savior like that. Man's need for God's love and God's forgiveness and God's salvation. There's another thing that never changes, and that is whenever a man or a woman or a young person does indeed repent, that person will be saved. And when I say repent, that means to turn from your sin and turn to Christ. It means to pluck it out of your life and to allow that space to be given over to the Holy Spirit. Another thing that has never changed is the price of admission to heaven. And it has never changed. It has always been faith in God, trusting in God. In the Old Testament, it was faith in God. In the New Testament, it is faith in Christ's finished work on the cross. It's still faith in God. It hasn't changed. And then another thing that hasn't changed is that God is still working on earth. The Holy Spirit is poured out in all flesh. God is still being a good father to his children. He is blessing, provisioning, interceding, chastening, comforting, strengthening, making bold, emboldening, and what's making wise? I don't know, enwisening, I don't think it's a real thing. Those things have never changed. As long as there are people in this world with a sin nature, God will still reach out to save those that will be saved and provision those that love him and make room for him in their lives. There's another thing that hasn't changed, and that is God's reward for sin, God's penalty for sin. What does Romans chapter 3 call it? The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. And that has never changed. The reward for refusing God's free gift, for refusing a free gift, and when you say it like that, it makes no sense at all. Why would you refuse a free gift? The reward for that is hell, judgment, and the lake of fire for every single person that rejects, that says no to Jesus Christ. That's never going to change. It is never going to change. Something else that never changes is the Bible, God's Word. Now you might say there are a lot of Bibles in the world. Yes, there are a lot of books in the world that claim to be the Bible, but they are certainly not the Word of God. They make less of God. They reduce him to a single person when there's a Trinity. They make it difficult to get saved by saying there's only one and only Son whenever there's God's adopted sons, which is you and I, and God's created sons, the angels. They lie and they confuse and they pretty much say you can believe anything you like. But God's word never changes. He said, My word will never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. Not one jot or not one tittle shall pass from my word till all things have been fulfilled. It never changes. And what that means is that all of the things that are in it that God says we shouldn't do, that were recorded thousands of years ago, we still shouldn't do. All the sin is still sin. Immorality, homosexuality, adultery, fornication, lesbianism, all those different, I don't even know what way to put it, what to call it. They're all still forbidden. They're still sinful. Whether you're straight or whatever your inclination is, they're still wrong. Profanity. The Bible says you shouldn't curse and swear. Blasphemy. You shouldn't take the Lord's name in vain. Idolatry is still not acceptable by God. And honoring your parents is still a requirement for a long life in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Theft and murder and covetousness, wanting what other people have and lying, all of these things are still sin, and there's other things as well. And regardless of how the world wants to pretty it up, no matter the shiny wrapping paper or the tinsel bow that the world puts on it today, it's still sin and it still has consequences. We think now that in our current day, just to touch upon a very sore subject with many people, that we are well beyond the need for murder and things like that, and yet so many people murder their unborn children quite casually. And no matter how in our pride we think we know better, and we are better than our ancestors or somebody that lives in a less affluent part of the world than ourselves, we still need it. And we're going to need it day by day until we see our Lord and Savior face to face. Because the thing about it is, there's another thing that doesn't change, and that's human nature. We are not sinners because we do bad things. We do bad things because we're sinners. It is in our nature, as it said, I think it says in Job, that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upwards. Our hearts are wicked, desperately wicked and deceitful, and nobody can know them. That was written down thousands of years ago, and it's still true today. These are eternal, spiritual, and very real constants. Another constant is how a society grows or feels because of their stand with God. A society that clings to God's laws will flourish. And we have seen that in the hundreds of years in our history. But a society that departs from God's law rots and crumbles. There are many things that are constant. And I am glad that they are, because I would hate to think that I had a harder time getting saved than somebody 2,000 years ago that walked and talked with God. Or I had a different set of rules to go by than someone that lived 2,000 years ago when he walked and talked with God. But God loves us all just exactly the same. Now, there's a bunch of things that do change in this life. Our standards of dress, our standards of behavior. The laws of our land used to be designed to protect people, but now they're just designed to make people feel good. Messages from the pulpits have gotten very watery and wishy-washy. People change. Fashions change. And the things that we carry about in our pockets, well, they get smarter, and sometimes they're smarter than the people carrying them. But I honestly can't think of one of those that has changed for the better, except maybe the gadgets. It's always nice to have a gadget in your pocket, especially if you need to use it all the time. I'm thankful there's one other thing that actually does change. That whenever somebody gets saved and trusts in Christ as their Savior, they are changed from a wicked, hell-deserving sinner into a heaven-bound sinner. A new creature in Christ, bound for heaven. I'm thankful that God loves us and He's still making it easy for us to get to heaven. Because in spite of all our education and of all the things that Daniel said, and I think it was in Daniel 11, of all of the knowledge that we have at our fingertips, we're just not as smart as we like to think we are. And we might be able to build nuclear bombs and print guns on a printer and do all sorts, but we still have a problem with sin, and we still need a great Savior, our constant God. I'm stopping there. Thank you for a good time. God bless you. And we'll look forward to the next time with more people. Amen. 6:08. We'll sing a song and then we will be dismissed. See what I have. Hymn number 51. 51 for the big books where we'll never go and stand as we sing.
Jesus.
and health and strength. Then you watch over us as we go home. And Lord, back at the next appointed time. Please, I pray, Lord, search our hearts and change them into what you want them to be, Lord. And please find us willing participants in that. We love you and thank you. We pray for all of our prayer requests, for our health and for our travels and for our missing brethren this evening, Lord. We just ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, we must. God bless you. If you can, run for the door.